The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So a really warm welcome, this is kind of like a habit of mine to say warm welcome, but if you're in 100 degree weather, the last thing you want is warm welcome, right? Maybe like a cool, crisp welcome or something like this, but I'm glad you're all here. It's a beautiful thing to practice together. So nice to see you and welcome. So I'm continuing this theme of the inner critic. I've been doing this for the past few weeks, and I don't know, I kind of like it. And it's something that, I notice that so many of us, I'll put myself in here, sometimes my inner critic is loud and persuasive, but it's just it affects so many people in so many different ways. And I thought it would be a nice thing to explore and to practice with. And one thing, maybe you don't need me to say this, but with a meditation practice, whether we were doing loving kindness practice or mindfulness or concentration or any other type of practice, well, maybe not any other type of practice, but those types, that part of what happens is we start to become a little bit more attuned to or sensitive to or aware of our own experience. Part of it is we recognize how disconnected we've been from ourselves as we're busy trying to get through our to-do lists or, I don't know, what we're, just these ways in which we tend to disconnect. And certainly there's a lot of encouragement to do that in our culture and our society, to not necessarily be so attuned to what one's inner life is doing, as well as what the body is doing, and let alone the relationship between them. So this idea that as we practice, we become a little bit more sensitive to, or we kind of recognize what our own experience is. This can be really helpful. It can help us to navigate our way, or help us make decisions, help us feel into what does the gut say, or, oh, that doesn't quite feel right, or this does feel right. I'm not saying that we have to use exclusively our gut feelings, but it can be a real support. So I want to build on this a little bit by an invitation that you to call to mind a difficult emotion or experience you've had recently. Not the most difficult one, but like for me, I'll just share that. Earlier this week, I was driving on the freeway, and there was somebody that was in front of me that was going like, I don't know, like maybe 15 miles an hour under the speed limit. And I was kind of like stuck, and I wanted to change lanes, but I couldn't. This person was going so slow. And and I just found my little temper flare up, like, oh, you know, get out of the way. Right? It's not wasn't my best moment. So just like bring to mind something like this, and then notice how you feel about it. I noticed that I just said, oh, that wasn't my best moment, right? I felt a little embarrassed, right? You know, sharing this, like I'm supposed to be a meditation teacher, and here I am having this kind of temper flare up when somebody, I don't know why they were driving so slowly. But to notice of the difficult emotion, and then how do you feel about it? Are you ashamed of it? Do you have some like dislike for yourself or disappointment in yourself? Or do you feel you should have been able to prevent it? Or do you consider yourself in some way like bad or wrong or something for having that feeling? Just not uncommon, right? This is what the inner critic does, right? Is has these types of reactions to whatever emotion or experience we're having. But now here's something to play around with or to explore. See what happens if you tune into the painful, uncomfortable quality of having that experience. For me, this having this ill will towards this driver that was going so slow, right? It was kind of my thinking was constricted. I felt a little bit tight. There was some, a little bit of heat in the face, you know, this irritation, this kind of frustration, and right? This is not glaringly obvious. There was a time in my life when perhaps I wouldn't have even noticed that. But can we notice the uncomfortableness of those difficult emotions? Can we notice how they feel, how we experience them, and maybe even label them as painful or dukkha or something like this? So if we can recognize that the state of ill will, the state of fear, state of jealousy, state of greed, whatever it is, has a quality of it that's uncomfortable. And I go like this with my hands because almost all of them are like, there's like a contraction where we kind of like collapse into whatever that experience is. And so if we start to feel into the painfulness of it, then it's a little bit easier to maybe like hold some kindness and some compassion. Like, oh, that's right. Can this, for the difficulty of this experience, rather than this judgment, it's bad, can we like activate or tune into some compassion towards the painful part of it? And this is part of the way that we can shift our inner critic, is kind of like reframing the experience away from something that we shouldn't have to something that's uncomfortable, difficult, painful, dukkha. You know, whatever word you have for how you might thus be. So this recognition that we can't prevent these negative feelings from arising. We're like, we're not asking them to arrive. They just arise. But we don't need to be overcome by them or defined by them or act on them or feel ashamed if we had them. This is the nature of that moment of whatever's happened. But is there a way that we can tune into the uncomfortableness of it and then allow some compassion to arise? Yeah, this is hard. Having a human life is not always easy, and that moment was not a moment that was leading me towards greater freedom and ease. So this is subtle, what I'm talking about, what I'm pointing to, but it's a way of kind of like reframing our perspective or using different language to maybe label or engage with our experience instead of like bad or I shouldn't, like, ouch. Oh yeah, that's not leading me the life I want to go. This isn't the way to greater freedom, greater ease. And just feel into that and allow the compassion, like, oh, I hope the, may the suffering ease. May the difficulties go away, as an alternative to the inner critic. So we'll practice with this a little bit today. We'll use some of these phrases that I've been using before, but maybe we'll also introduce a little bit more about compassion. Yeah, so maybe I'll stop there and we'll start with some meditation. So taking an alert posture. A posture that has some ease, but also some uprightness. And feeling into the bodily sensations at this moment. What does it feel like to be sitting here now? Can you inhabit this moment feel into this moment. Allowing any tightness or tensions to soften. Might support the softening by resting awareness on that area. And tuning into the sensations of breathing. Feeling the stretching and then the release of the stretch that happens when we breathe. And when the mind wanders, just very gently, simply begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. Because this working with the inner critic makes a world of difference if it comes from a place of care and warmth. Otherwise, it can just be the inner critic disguised as care, but there's this aversive quality of working with the inner critic. Makes a difference if we marinate in some loving kindness first. So bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom there's an uncomplicated, straightforward relationship that's based on this care, love, goodwill, warm-heartedness. This might be somebody you know, or might be an author, a teacher, somebody who has touched your life, but perhaps you don't have a relationship with them. Maybe it's a furry family member, or maybe even imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, whomever. Can you connect with this lovable being in any way that makes sense for you? And then to support this cultivation of loving kindness, we can say these phrases while keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we feel into, attuned to the warm-hearted feeling we have for this lovable being. Can we allow it to permeate our experience? And then can we expand this loving kindness to include ourselves? Of course we include ourselves. So in the same way, We can wish ourselves good wishes, send ourselves good wishes. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we have a warm-hearted relationship towards ourselves in a way that feels comfortable without straining? Some people find it helpful to remember or imagine when they were a child. Loving kindness for the child. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So now we'll work a little bit with the inner critic. And part of the way is to recognize the uncomfortableness of it and to bring some compassion compassion is, there's this love, this care, this goodwill, and it meets suffering. And there's a wish for that suffering to end. Not in a way that we have to go and fix everything, but in a way says has a sincere wish for people to have happiness and well-being. So bring to mind a difficult experience, a difficult emotion perhaps in your life. On a scale of 1 to 10, something like a 2 or a 3. And can you bring to mind that difficult experience? Maybe just tune into the difficultness of it, not in a way that we will get overwhelmed. This is just something that's like a 2 on the scale, but just recognize the uncomfortableness. And with this little bit of uncomfortableness, can we tune into this wish that comes out of love, that comes out of care? May I be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering. It's just this open-hearted inclination. Not a demand. We can use these other phrases as a support. No need to use all of these phrases. Maybe one resonates. It's perfectly fine. Bringing to mind maybe the same difficult experience, maybe another one, keeping it on a 2 or a 3 on the scale. And saying, I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I am in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So you can feel into the uncomfortableness of the difficult emotion. Maybe compassion arises. May I be free from this suffering. This wholehearted wish for beings, including ourselves, to not suffer. Or, rather than tuning into the difficulty, maybe tuning into the memory of that experience and use the other phrases. Keep it simple and complicated. I know I've given a lot of words, maybe too many words. Just choose what's resonating for you right now. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So I introduced two different ways in which we might work with something that's uncomfortable and then the inner critic that arises in response to it. One is to maybe kind of like activate the compassion. That is, if there's a feeling of warm-heartedness, love, care, kindness, and it encounters suffering, difficulties, then this warm-heartedness just naturally transforms into compassion, which is this warm-hearted wish for suffering to end. So that's one way. It just gets out, the inner critic just doesn't get a stronghold. Instead, there's this compassion that arises. And the other way is, if that doesn't quite feel accessible, is to use some of these phrases about that difficult situation, not tuning in so much to the difficulty or that felt suffering of it, but maybe using a little bit more cognitive thinking about it, ways to interact with it, using different phrases. At different times, maybe different ways of interacting will be appropriate and or available, right? Not all of these ways are available to us all the time. If there's things that are really difficult, you know, our best wisdom and all the training that we've had often isn't available to us. So these are two different ways which we might work with it. And no need to do them both at the same time. Maybe there's one that resonates or another that resonates. And now I'd like to provide an opportunity for us to speak to each other about this idea that we can activate the compassion, that by kind of like tuning into the difficulty part, the way that it feels, so that we have this natural, without necessary training or things like this, just this, when we have been practicing some loving kindness, just this natural wish for the suffering to end. As opposed to have more thinking like, well, I've been practicing this for a while and it takes time, or however you're understanding the alternative phrases. So it might be nice to discuss these two different approaches. Is there one that's easier for you right now, or do you have questions about them? This type of thing. So in these rooms, you can just, it's helpful if you just say one thing, and there's no need to say, you know, your deepest, darkest secrets. But this is just an opportunity to create the environment, the space in which people can be seen and heard in a warm-hearted way. So we don't have to give advice to each other. We don't have to say everything, you know, that we could possibly say about something. So just an encouragement to, oops, I'm trying to balance out the rooms here. I think like people are leaving, and then there's, I don't want anybody to be alone in a room here. Okay, so it's helpful to just say one thing in the room, and then I'll go to the next person. They say one thing, and then it goes to the next person, and they say one thing, instead of absolute everything that you know about the topic or your big life story. I'll just keep it to this topic. I think it's that most helpful. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the last digit of your phone number. So it's kind of like the introverts and the extroverts kind of like leveling up the playing field there. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have any comments or questions or something they'd like to share? Any ideas of, you know, compassion, or maybe a little more cognitive way to approach, maybe we could say maybe a heart way or a mind way, maybe, you know, a combination of all of them. Yes, Peter.
Thank you, Diana. So I don't know which way this is, but it occurred to me that if you can personify the inner critic a little bit, you know, whose voice is that, that you can offer metta toward that personification.
Hmm.
That could be another approach to this, which could be effective. Never mind, I'm not going to go into that story. There's a Tibetan analogy to that, but later. Also, I want to repeat a phrase that I heard for the first time from yesterday from Brini, which is trust metta.
Mm.
I really like that phrase.
Nice. Thank you, Peter. Trust metta. Nice. And right, we can give these inner critics characters. You know, we can turn them into characters, give them names, and kind of personify them just as you're describing. And then we can interact with them in a different way. Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
Indeed. You're welcome.
Anybody else have a comment? Okay. So with a lot of appreciation for our practicing together and exploring this idea of the inner critic, the experience of the inner critic. So if you'd like, we can unmute and we'll say goodbye all together. So, bye-bye and thank
bye-bye,
you.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.